And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 28th, and we like to rock. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with the big beef chef, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last but not least, making that type of magic happen with that cold open, it's J.D.
Hello!
There he is, and here we are. What was that one, JD? I gotta ask. That one was wild.
I really can't tell you. I was, just digging and searching and searching and digging, and there it was. And I was like, this is awesome. And then I realized, that's the Eden Center. That's
it's Toronto.
Wow.
And it's about twice as long. It's real, and that guy does a lot of those, and they're all gold.
Oh, he looks like Dan Hawkins from The Darkness there with the hair going. That, like.
I believe in a thing called clothes.
Yeah.
Congrats are in store for Trey Kirby here this morning. Big news, WNBA star Candace Parker leaving the LA Sparks to join your Chicago Sky. So congrats. I saw you on Twitter. You were pretty pumped about that, TK.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the WNBA to really guarantee this, but I'm guaranteeing a title for the Chicago Sky this season. In no way will it be similar to Dwayne Wade coming home near the end of his career after a storied entire career with another franchise.
Right.
It's going to work out this time. Shout out to Candace Parker coming back to Illinois. We might have to start a WNBA podcast now.
Maybe. That is big, big news, of course, in the WNBA world. Yesterday, guys, before we get to the games, yesterday the NBA announced that all-star voting will begin today. Yes, today at noon. Nice. It starts up. It will conclude at midnight on February 16th. We don't even know if we're actually having a game, but we are definitely picking all-stars. Fans can submit one full ballot each day through either the NBA app or NBA.com, and you can vote up to 10 unique players per day on Twitter as well. There's going to be 5 days where they do those things where the votes count double, Lele, those big bonus days where you really want to get your votes out. As in the past, a combination of fans, players, and media will determine the All-Star starters this season. Fans making up 50% of the vote, players in the media each get 25% of the vote, and the ballots are made up of 2 backcourt spots and 3 frontcourt spots. Starters revealed on February 18th, and then the reserves picked by the coaches on February 23rd. We wanted to lead today's show with this news so that we can pitch ahead to tomorrow's Drop podcast, where we will absolutely start selecting and debating our, let's be honest, hilariously early all-star team. So we're going to do that on Friday's Drop podcast. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you watch or listen to the pod. We will be picking our first round of all-stars again on Friday's Drop. Speaking of YouTube, we're going to be dropping a brand new edition of NBA Whoopsies later this afternoon. So keep an eye out for that on the No Dunks YouTube page. The Hoops and the Bloops, another great week. And then, tonight, I've teased this a couple times now, around halftime of the Blazers-Rockets game, which is on TNT, we're going to try a little watch party on YouTube, calling it the NBA Happy Hour. So grab yourself a drink tonight, throw on that game, and then drop your questions and comments in the live chat as we talk about anything NBA related and probably a whole lot of non-NBA talk too. I have a I got thoughts about everything, TK. I know you're going to be joining me at first. Lily, are you going to swing by? Have a brewski with the bros?
I'll try to drop in at some point. Yeah.
Hey, like I said, super cash.
Well, show
up in pajamas. Show up in pajamas.
Shirts off. Yeah.
Well,
that shirt off. Let the brownies out. Come talk basketball with your buddies. Something you never get a chance to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it does clash right with bedtime and book time for me and my boys. So I might just combine the two, and I'll read some books to you guys on the stream team. You know,
anything goes. Anything goes with NBA Happy Hour. So that again is tonight. So subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and hit that little notification bell or button or whatever the heck it is, so you know when we're going live. Can't wait. Should be fun tonight. All right. Before we get to what you got, we had a wedgie, guys. Number 14. It was a quickie. Oh, the Plum Dog Millionaire blocking Drummond there into the wedgie. Yep, number 14 on the season. The block wedgie, you said it before we jumped on here, Trey, or went live. It, you know, pretty common that we see this type of wedgie from the block.
Yeah, I don't really get it, but we've had, I don't know, four or five of them in the past couple of weeks where it seems like there's a block and somehow the ball gets spinning, the torque on it gets jammed in there, sticking a wedgie. It's great. Yeah, we see it every night. Oh, the rare block wedgie. And maybe that's true in the past, but not this season. In the year of the wedgie, it might even be the year of the block wedgie.
It maybe is. It's either it feels like a block wedgie, Lili, or a three-point wedgie. Mm. I mean, the real rare wedgie is becoming like anything in the mid-game or like a layup or some weird thing like that. Those are the rare ones.
You know, we've gotten so many wedgies lately. We need a little wedgie break because I don't think they're being appreciated as much as they should be. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get like a wedgie come through in the broadcast. You know, we had Lamar Hurd on yesterday. I mean, he calls out no dunks.
Yeah.
But that one last night was just it's a jump ball. It's a stick. Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's like we're just being so spoiled with wedgies this season. Like we almost need just a little break for a week or so. And then we need a big primetime wedgie. That's what we really need is a Mike Breen.
Yeah,
you know, like that's where it's... Because Mike Breen, he'll say wedgie. He might not say no dunks, but he'll say, oh, a wedgie. That's what we need. Some wedgie appreciation.
Well, I mean, again, this was a quick one because they didn't leave it up there long. And then, yeah, we were right to the jump ball. I saw, like, some people were concerned on Twitter. Like, does this even count as a wedgie? Yeah, of course. I mean, they stop play, dead ball. We do sometimes get a wedgie that sticks and then it drops and they continue to play because it's super quick. Now, we don't count those ones. But shout out to everybody, by the way, on Instagram and Twitter and even YouTube. Like, let us know when they see a wedgie. You got to let us know. I mean, that's a classic one, Lee. Like, that's Cavs Pistons on a game where they're on a night when there's like 10 plus games. And we can very easily miss that.
Absolutely. The Cavs have been a fun team to watch this year, but you got Lakers Sixers, you got Nets Hawks going. It's tough to swing over to the queue to see the tune in to watch the Pistons.
Yeah. And like I've said, I mean, it keeps me up at night. I like the missed wedgies that are out there. Like at some point, I'm going to carve out some time and go through every NBA game in history and go through them all and see if we missed any. We'll get to that in the summer, maybe. But let's get to a little what you got.
What you got?
What you got there? Yeah, what you got? I haven't done this in a while. Just a fun little twist on talking about a lot of the big games and storylines from last night, right? Let's switch it up. We've been doing a lot of five games, one takeaway thing on most of these shows. But this one, guys, I want you to just hit me with the more entertaining game. I'll give you two options. There's some good games on last night. Nets beating the Hawks in overtime. These guys continue to play great games, Nets and Hawks. Or that Lakers-Sixers game there on the national broadcast on ESPN last night. More entertaining game, Lili. What you got?
Well, I was watching the Lakers and the Sixers, so that's where I'm leaning to. I've probably got a little bit of a bias, but that was the big game I really want to see. Best road team versus the best home team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it lived up to it. I really did, because I think the Sixers were home until about 3 minutes to go when the Lakers put on a huge run, got themselves back to the lead. And then the Sixers managed to get the win at the end. Tobias Harris hit a game-winning shot. So lots of little bits and pieces out of this one. I'll go to a couple of them. Tobias Harris, who is a player who I haven't had a lot of confidence in since he's been there in Philadelphia, he hit three big shots in the fourth quarter here for Philadelphia. And really, you know, went at his defender, which is important. I think he needs to be aggressive. He needs to be that other scorer, because as good as Ben Simmons was last night, and he had a very good game, when it comes down to crunch time, he's not going to take that shot. And Embiid was having a good game as well. You know, he's going to get a lot of attention. So it falls on someone like Harris to step up and take that shot. And he did. And he knocked it in. And he saved a victory for his team. Because if the Sixers had lost this game, that would have been a devastating blow to them. Because they basically led virtually double digits as well in that fourth quarter. until they went a little bit cold. The Lakers got hot. Caruso and Schroeder hit some big threes, and then LeBron's gorgeous bounce pass into Anthony Davis to give the Lakers the lead there late. And you thought, yep, the Lakers had done it again. They just pulled this victory out, but the Sixers held firm. So I thought that was very impressive. Now, there was two very big sort of non-turning points, as it turned out, in this game, and it was the flagrant fouls. First one, LeBron James on Joel Embiid. Now, Joel Embiid went up, and LeBron, he definitely laid both hands on him, and it was one of those situations where it looked worse because of the way Joel Embiid fell and landed. And I was thought, he's not going to come back. There's no way he's going to come back.
Because he'd been having back problems, too, and he laid it right on his tailbone. Yeah,
big, heavy guy who goes up like that and lands, and instantly he was in pain, and you're like, oh, my God, that's bad. Now, LeBron was assessed a flagrant one. After the game, Embiid thought he should have been ejected for a flagrant two, but I'm going to give LeBron the benefit of the doubt here that sometimes, you know, when you connect with a person, just the momentum of them can make things look worse. I don't think LeBron had any nasty intent. I think he sort of tried to take a foul, but just as Embiid jumped, he sort of, you know, his hands just laid on his body and then he fell badly. Mm-hmm. So I think the referees did get that one right. I can see why Sixers fans are like, oh, LeBron, you know, the refs are always bailing him out.
Sixers fans, I felt like Draymond Green fans were more upset last night on Twitter. If Draymond does that, he's getting 10 games.
And that's the easy comparison to make.
Maybe.
But I think the referees got that one right, a flagrant one. I don't think
I'm sort of with you, but Trey, what's your opinion on the LeBron one to start with here, the flagrant one that he got? Do you think he should have been ejected?
I think everybody's right about everything, because I don't think that LeBron should have been ejected. It looked like a flagrant one to me, like you're saying, Lee. It was an intentional foul. It looked like he was trying to foul Embiid, but, you know, Embiid falling over definitely made it look worse. But if you are a Sixers fan, if you're Joel Embiid, I think he's totally right that if it was him doing that, he gets ejected from the game for a flagrant two, because there is a reputation quantity to these sort of fouls. A Draymond Green would likely get ejected as well. I remember Andrew Bynum did basically this exact same thing to J.J. Barea 5,000 years ago.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure he was ejected and eventually suspended, right? But it looks different when it's Andrew Bynum, a giant, Joel Embiid, a giant, doing it to a small guy like J.J. Barea. When it's LeBron doing it to Embiid, it's a little tougher call. But, you know, I think that Embiid has a case. I think that pretty much anybody except for the King probably gets ejected there.
Interesting. Yeah, because you're right, Lili. I mean, he puts both his hands on him. Yeah. There is no doubt. Almost in a way to, like, brace himself from maybe, like, getting dunked on in a way, like, that type of thing. But he doesn't, like, LeBron definitely doesn't extend and super push him or stuff like that, which you don't want to, like, touch anyone in the air. I get that, because it's always dangerous. Like, you know, your balance is, like, you're at the mercy of someone pushing you, as we've seen many times, especially guys coming from behind. But, yeah, like, if Embiid doesn't land so wildly, I mean, is a flagrant even called in that situation? Or is it just a foul then?
Yeah.
I'm sort of with you. I think they got it right. Flagrant one. First flagrant for LeBron since 2014. And I tweeted it out. I actually didn't end up fact-checking it. From what I can remember, the last time I remember LeBron getting a flagrant, he popped Roy Hibbert. Remember him? Remember those Heat-Pacers matchups? He got Hibbert, not in the Hibberts, which you would think, not in the nuts. He got him in the face with like an offensive foul, like elbow. Yeah, LeBron like sort of, you know, was attacking the rim and caught Hibbert up top and really like clocked him, and he got a flagrant one for that.
Look, if you're going to be making your name on verticality, that means your body is straight up and down.
Right,
you're
going
to take some shots to the Hibberts and to the face. It's just a matter of, is it the knees or the elbows that hit first?
That's right. That's right. And anyways, were you going to continue with the second one then on Embiid there, Lila? Yeah.
Yeah. So only a minute or so later there, Embiid goes into the lane and he sort of does the rip through kind of, you know, Eurostep move around Anthony Davis, and he clocks him on the chin with his elbow, and he's also assessed a flagrant one. And I also think they got that one right too, because last week it was against the Lakers and the Bucks. Giannis got a flagrant one for doing the similar sort of move on Montrezl Harrell, and he caught him flush on the chin. So they do call that a flagrant one. Now, it's different, I think, when you are swinging your elbows, because you are in control a little bit more. And I think, you know, we've seen Joel Embiid that time where he whacked Jared Allen in the playoffs. He should have been suspended for that one or ejected because he just clearly whacked him. But in this case, guys do make these moves now where they're sort of stepping across and they're moving across and their arms are up and you've got big guys there. So you can make contact, but it doesn't always necessarily have to be like a nasty
you know, a deliberate whack. So I think in this case, I think Embiid was right to get the flagrant one as well, because he did catch him and they call that and they're trying to be consistent with it. But I don't think that was worthy of an ejection either. And you saw Anthony Davis, you know, he got shaken up. He got shaken up a couple of times there last night. But I think it was the right call as well. So after the game, Doc Rivers said, you know, I don't think either of them were flagrant calls. And maybe he's right. I don't know. But I just feel that the NBA has been consistent. Referees have been consistent, at least calling that one that Embiid was called for last night as a flagrant one. So I think they also did get that right in the end. But, you know, it wasn't a spiteful game. You know, there wasn't any other sort of lingering issues out there. It was just a good competitive game between two teams playing really well. And, you know, those incidents happened. But I think because there wasn't any sort of follow-up fouls from other guys, that sort of indicates to me that they both recognize they weren't intentional acts by LeBron or there by Joel Embiid on Anthony Davis.
I'll tell you what, if we ever get a Sixers-Lakers game during NBA happy hour, we're making a drinking game. Drink every time AD or Embiid hits the floor.
Oh, yeah.
It will be wasted. Oh my God. Especially Embiid. I mean, AD's always on the ground too. Like it seems like he's always picking himself up. But Embiid hit the ground like, it feels like every game he's down there like 5 to 10 times. I don't even think I'm exaggerating.
No, you're definitely not. He's down on the ground so often that he has bits for when he's down on the ground. He had one yesterday where he got an and one. He landed. He started doing the X-Pac suck it. He's humping in the air after making a big shot. The guy is shooting some crazy floaters, honestly, like out of the post where he's shooting the ball 20 feet up in the air and it's dropping through so softly. It feels like he's down on the ground before the ball is going through the rim. Marcus Smart called it flopping. True aficionados amongst us would just call it selling. You know, he's just making it look even more like a foul. When you're a big guy like that, you got to do what you can to get to the line. That's how you score efficiently. Fall over.
That was actually a storyline sort of from this game too. As we know, Marc Gasol has been considered the Embiid stopper, right? Like the numbers are actually like pretty amazing. Like Embiid career averages and then Embiid versus Marc Gasol. I don't have it in front of me, but it is just like a hilariously drastic drop-off where Gasol's done a great job on him in the past. Not so much, of course, there last night. You know, Gasol wasn't on him a ton, got into some foul trouble, but Embiid, 28 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. But you reminded me there, Leeway, just back to the Tobias Harris jumper, you know, getting to a spot, pulling up over Caruso, the smaller guy, confidence, splash, like really, really nice game winner with about 3 seconds to go. Sort of like, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, it's nice to have Tobias do that, to be like a Chris Middleton-like guy, right?
Right.
Because it's similar with the with the Sixers. Embiid is like a Giannis down the stretch, like in the final couple minutes. We've talked about it before. Not as easy to get the big guy the ball. You know, they're probably going to send multiple guys at you. So you need that secondary scorer that can sort of create his own shot and take it with confidence. And it's not going to be Ben Simmons. Although he was really aggressive early on in this game, and I thought did a phenomenal job defensively. You need that guy, that scorer. And so that I see just the comparison there, and they're both having really great years shooting the ball, Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton. Yeah. They're going to be in the running tomorrow when we're making our All-Star teams, for sure, both of them.
Yeah, well, it's the Doc Rivers influence, I think. I'm going to give Doc a lot of credit because people said, you know, when he was in the Clippers and Doc was coaching Tobias Harris, that's when he had his best season. He was nearly an All-Star then. And now he's in Philadelphia, and Tobias Harris is definitely having a better season than he's had before in Philadelphia. And again, that moment last night in that fourth quarter, it wasn't just the game winner, it was those other shots that he took. I think he took Caruso into the post one time as well and just raised up and scored over him. And that's what they need him to do that. I mean, that's what they pay him $35 million a year for, is to go out there and be another guy who can be a scoring option for them. Because, you know, Simmons was very good in this game, but at the end of the game, he's just simply not going to shoot the ball. He might drive in, he might attack, but he will not be a shooter. So they need other guys out there. Seth Curry, who's been good for them this season, he wasn't really feeling it there last night. So it's on Harris, and I thought he was very good. So, yeah, overall, you know, just a good win for Philadelphia because, as I said earlier, if they dropped this one after leading it all night and the way that the Lakers closed, that would have just been a devastating end for them. And Embiid, you know, he had 28 points and 6 rebounds, but he wasn't like, he didn't completely dominate, but he certainly did, again, pick his spots and look to be aggressive. And that's what he needs to do because he's got a variety to his offensive game that makes him hard to defend, certainly one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add to the Nets-Hawks game? Again, I slipped it in there. It's like the third time they've played a really, really entertaining game. I'm seeing a lot of people saying like, can we hope this is somehow like a playoff series? Like, it would be a pretty fun, you know, 1-8, 2-7, whatever, maybe possibly even maybe a 3-6 matchup. Sign me up for that if we're going to get games like this between these two teams where there's not a lot of defense, but my God, there's a lot of scoring.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Skeets. Unfortunately for us, these two teams are done playing for the season unless they somehow meet in the playoffs. All three of them have been really fun. You remember the first game between these two? It was like 141 to 140 or something like that. They decided to play a little more defense the second time around. Third time around, maybe a little bit in the fourth quarter here. I don't know. It was a fun game to watch, though, too. Just a little bit overshadowed by the crazy ending of the Lakers game, but this one was consistently great throughout, I thought. The Hawks obviously aren't on the Nets level yet, but they're closer than you'd think. I think we saw a little bit of how the Brooklyn Nets defense can actually improve going forward in this season. There was a play where John Collins got isolated on Harden in the post. Harden takes a bump, and then KD comes down from the corner, smacks the ball out with a huge block, and that to me is how the Nets are really going to be a quality defensive team when it comes playoff time, because, yeah, they can bring in other guys. They can bring in somebody to improve their Jeff Green spot because Jeff Green is obviously playing a ton of minutes on a title contending team again. How does it keep happening? The guy is, what a career for Jeff Green. But nonetheless, you're going to have Harden. You're going to have Durant. You're going to have Kyrie on the court no matter what. The key to them having a good defense is getting a good effort from those guys. You see Harden giving up his body, taking a bump from a bigger guy. You see KD willing to help. That's how the Nets become a quality defensive team, or at least a team that's good enough on defense that their offense can take him home on the other side.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Our next one here, I'll just ask it. I'll just jump right into it. Who gets traded first? Bradley Beal from the Wizards or Aaron Gordon from the Magic? Beal again, 47, I think it was last night. In another Wizards loss, Aaron Gordon going through the motions, if you caught any of that one. A brutal, brutal game from him. Trey, what you got? Beal or AG, who gets moved first here?
It definitely looks with your eyes. It looks like it's going to be Bradley Beal, because like you're saying, Skeets, it happened again last night. 47 points, and the Wizards lost by basically 20 points. I saw the tweets coming through as it was happening. This was not appointment viewing for me, but you see him coming through. Ooh, Bradley Beal's got 24 in the third. He's got 40 through three quarters. I didn't even need to look at the scoreboard to know that the Wizards were losing by 20, because that's exactly what it is. There's a great tweet from Law Murray, our athletic colleague last night, who said, in 12 months, we've seen so many pictures of Bradley Beal just looking so sad on the sidelines, to the point where he was asked about it in post-game press conferences, saying, yeah, I know, I need to be better at that because I know I'm going to be memed instantly anytime it happens. And it seems to be happening a lot. He was asked if he's frustrated. He says, is the sky blue? But the bigger quote, I think, that Fred Katz had is that Beal says, it's tough. We want to win. I want to win. This is why I stayed. I want to win here. I figure this is the place I can get it done. I don't know if that's the case, but he did sign a big extension October 2019 saying he wanted to be part of this Wizards team and that he wanted to be part of the team that brings the Wizards franchise back to respectability. I did see some big names on Twitter talking about a potential Otto Porter for Bradley Beal deal, but there's no reason for the Wizards to trade Bradley Beal right now. It's going to take a huge package to get it done. That's why I actually think Aaron Gordon is more likely to be traded. He's on an $18 million deal this season, $16 million only next year. Yeah. And the guy looks just totally disconnected from the Magic. He's been playing out of position for basically his entire career. Last night, 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. He's kind of their point guard right now. Matt, the Magic are struggling. If they're ready to be sellers, he's going to be a trade target, and Evan Fournier is going to be a trade target. It's crazy, though, that Aaron Gordon He's still in the Magic right now. Has the guy played the right position once his entire career? It's hard to say. He's not a point guard. He's not a small forward. They have him handle the ball a lot. He probably needs somebody who can really set him up. Obviously, Markelle Fultz is injured right now, so that's not a help for the Magic. But the Aaron Gordon experience for Orlando seems to be coming to an end.
Would the Dallas Mavericks be interested in Aaron Gordon, Lili? I know we talked a lot about the Mavs and like Andre Drummond because to shore up their rebounding. Could you see them like trying to make a deal for Gordon, and would that make sense to you?
Yes. I mean, I'd have to look at the numbers, of course, through the trade machine to see what the Mavericks would have to give up in return. But an athletic big, I mean, that's what Aaron Gordon is, who can spread the floor. So he fits their offensive mindset that he can shoot the three. I know right now it's not great because
he's a career high 36%.
Yeah, I know.
For this season.
It feels to me that if he did go to a situation like that in Dallas, I think his energy, his attitude, all those things would improve, and I think he would be more productive. I mean, there's definitely, you know, you've got to be a buyer beware there with Aaron Gordon, because we've seen him have moments throughout his career, usually at the start of the season, where he starts on fire. He looks great. Maybe he's putting himself into all-star contention, and then he sort of fades down the stretch. So that's kind of what you're risking there. But I think it is also Aaron Gordon, simply because he's got a more movable contract than Beal. Beal's got, he's got technically 2 years, that second year as a player option at $37 million, which, I mean, well, you know what? He maybe doesn't opt into that. He's young enough that he could get that five-year whatever deal after that, the guaranteed year that he has there. So I think so. I mean, the Mavericks need some help too. You know, they had another loss there last night to the Red Hot Jazz, but I think the Mavericks right now are one of those teams that are good, but they're not really as close as they need to be. And they've got a couple of those interchangeable pieces on the wings there that I think Aaron Gordon, you know, for the most part is an upgrade. So it's just what they would have to give up. I mean, it'd be one of their youngish players.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I was looking at the Mavericks. I was trying to work that trade machine. They don't have, you know, you're obviously not moving a Luka. You're obviously not moving a KP. So then you're like, you're getting into some of these other guys. Like, I think to make it work, it's either got to be like a James Johnson, his contract, or a Dwight Powell, or a Maxi Kleber. You know, one of those guys to the Magic. Then you got to, it's got to be sexier than that, I would assume. So like, I don't know, are you throwing in your recent draft pick in Tyrell Terry? He's a point guard. He's a smallish guard. The Magic need another one of them. I don't know. And then it would have to be like a future pick or two, right? Because the Magic don't have a lot of their, like, you know, immediate first round picks, with a lot of them going out in the KP trade. So, I mean, is that... I also don't know what Aaron Gordon even going to be worth, and like what you're actually going to get back in for return. I don't think it's going to be all that impressive, if I'm being honest, but I think the Mavs would do something like that if it was James Johnson and a super future pick, and maybe it is Terry. I think they would do it. I just don't know if Orlando would. But I also think he should just get the hell out of there. Like, I think both parties, I think it just makes sense to get something, even if it is future first round picks, and have him move out. He's not going to be your future four or three or wherever the heck they want to try and slot him in. He's just not. He's a fine player. He could be like a Wiggins type guy in the right, you know, situation where he's asked to do a little bit less. I think he could really flourish, but I don't know what you think about James Johnson, Tyrell Terry in a 2025 or a 2027 pick. Is that exciting to you as an Orlando Magic possible fan there, Trey?
Let me get Brent Rosengren on the phone to see if he'd be fired up about Tyrell Terry. You're talking about a bag of beans right there, to be honest. It's all about the picks, which maybe is the best move for the Magic. Maybe they move Gordon for picks. Maybe they move Fournier for a pick as well. Mm-hmm. Terrence Ross is somebody that should probably be in demand a little bit, though. He's got a few years left on his deal. There are some pieces that seem like they could help contending teams more so than they're helping the Magic, and maybe that's a way that the Magic can get to their next era of whatever they're going to be. I mean, I guess they're in the Nikola Vucevic era right now. He's going to somehow be the Orlando Magic all-time leading scorer in about a season. So I don't think it's happening with him as a title contender right now, but they're going to have to start thinking about the next moves pretty soon.
And then let's go back to Beal here, Lee. I got an offer for you.
Okay,
a team that he's been linked with a ton, and they continue to lose, and we're going to get to them in a second, though. The Miami Heat. Pat Riley, could he come in here and make a deal to the Washington Wizards that makes sense for both squads here? They obviously get Bradley Beal. That's a huge thing if you're pairing him with Jimmy and Bam. I think that's a hell of a threesome right there. You know, decent ages, too. I know Jimmy's a little bit older than the other two, but that's not bad. You just went to these finals. There's something there. What would it take? Tyler Hero has to be in it. I think you have to be giving up on Tyler Hero if you're the Heat to get Beal right now. Okay. Probably going to be taking the expiring contracts of like Kelly Olynyk, Iguodala, probably to make the money work. And then it gets interesting. Then are the Wizards like, oh yeah, we also want either Duncan Robinson or your rookie Precious Achiuwa. And then, of course, we want some picks, too, down the line, because the Heat don't have a lot of picks, immediate picks coming up, too. They would have to be, like, again, 2025, 2027, maybe one or both of those. What do you think of that deal, Lili? That's a, you know, that's a lot. I won't even say both of those guys, either Duncan or Precious. Yeah. Tyler, Kelly, Andre, and then future picks for Bradley Beal.
Yeah, I think it's one of Hero or Robinson. You're not going to give up both if you're the Heat.
Okay, because okay. I think so let's say it's Precious, then. Who's looked great?
I think the Heat would do that because I think that does give them a chance again to go back to where they were last season and get back. I mean, Beal is a proven all-star in this league. He improves the team immediately. And yeah, it costs you one of your young guys, but it's worth it because the Heat are sort of always kind of in win-now mode, but they certainly are with Jimmy Butler, and they want to make sure that they surround him with the talent that he expects. Of course, we heard they were going to pursue Giannis Antetokounmpo. That can't happen anymore. They did sign Bam to his long-term deal, so they took care of their business there. And I think it does improve them. And I think they probably look right now and think, you know, last season things did bounce right for them in the bubble. They had a great performance down there, but they are not maybe as quite as good as they were, and they need to improve. And if a player of Beal's caliber is available, yes, I think you make that deal. I think Achiuwa, he looks fine, but it's a rookie. It's hard to really tell. And Hero and Robinson, whichever one you're prepared to give up on, I think it's like, well, Beal is better than those guys right now.
For sure.
So it puts us in there. Iguodala, I mean, yeah, if they have to give him up to make the money work, I think they would be prepared to do that, even though they would be reluctant, because I think they like to have his leadership and his veteran presence on the team. But, you know, you're improving by having Beal on the team. So I think the Heat, that's not a bad deal. I think there is something there. As far as those picks, who knows exactly what's going on there, but if you're the Wizards as well, you may as well cash in and try to get some young players because...
Well, that's the interesting part. Is Tyler Hero enticing enough to build a trade package around for the Wizards from their side of things? Or would they prefer give me four or five, you know, first round picks, go that route? Or is it like, okay, Tyler Hero and even Precious, oh, those are two good players. Like, Tyler Hero's 21, right? I mean, Tyler Hero could be Bradley Beal, for all we know, in 4 or 5 years, right? That's where I'm curious what the Wizards think of trying to get something back. And look, Beal hasn't asked to be traded. They may not want to trade him. Trey said it. I mean, what? You're the Wizards. So you might as well just have a guy on your team scoring 40, 45 a night. At least you're still in the news. You're not winning games, but you're still of note. But Miami has no draft inventory, really. Again, that's really, really future I'm talking about when we're getting into 2027. But Tyler Hero is a hell of an intriguing player. And I know, I'm sure some Heat fans are even like, no way. Like, they're that in love with Tyler Hero. And you fall in love with your own guys, for sure. Especially your young guys, who could be a Beal, a Booker, whatever Tyler Hero turns into. But I don't know, the killer bees there, Trey, if you're the Heat, in Beal, Butler, and Bam, that's a hell of a good three, I think, with other, obviously, some pieces still around in Dragic and stuff like that.
The big bees. Yeah. I would be into it, and I think it would be a genius move for the Heat, to be honest with you. They love chasing stars. There are people in the Treem, in the Treem stream. That's a new one. The Treem stream. Anyways, in the stream team suggesting the Heat are going to be contenders for Victor Oladipo this summer. So that's a way that you can bring in a quality player without having to ship out some of yours. But
fair.
Bradley Beal is better than Victor Oladipo, I would say. I think if you get him in a place where he's playing hard on the defensive end as well, where everybody's committed, he's going to give you effort on that side. And I think he really bridges the gap between Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, right? Because Butler is certainly older than Adebayo. And as Butler tails off, we assume Bam will be ascendant. If there's another guy alongside those two who's kind of right in the middle of them age-wise, that could be very nice for Miami.
We will see. But I agree with you to go back to the what you got. I think Aaron Gordon is getting moved soon. I got no intel on that. That's all pure feeling. But if you watched him go through the motions there last night, I was watching some of that Magic game. Yeah, there's something going on, and it makes sense again for both parties. But we'll see. All right, next
wasn't
one.
Wasn't it Kings and Magic last night? You're watching that with all those other
games.
Yeah, man,
I got my eye on everything, big guy. I'm putting the work in.
Oh, man.
Why are you?
I know Isaac doesn't believe.
What's that? What's that, Trey?
Why are you being such an elitist here? You won't watch a bad team? You're too good for a bad team?
I mean, the Kings are fun to watch, but the Magic aren't.
Well, you hate Vucevic, so that's
big Vuce hater.
Look, I'm not saying I watched all 48 minutes of it. I just was I was seeing some things going around about Gordon. I'm just fascinated by Aaron Gordon getting moved, and I think it's going to happen. I've been sort of tweeting that for the last couple of while for the last couple of years. Here. Yeah, well, years. Yeah. Next one here. More surprising start. The Cavs are the Thunder, Lee, because the Cavs took care of the Pistons. They improved to 9-9, and the Thunder, baby, Canadian Thunder, played well down the stretch. They beat the Suns, who are without Booker, but beat the Suns. Yeah. Chris Paul had a good game. And OKC's 8-9. Al Horford, did Al Horford have a triple-double, I think? Yeah, great line. I know that. So what's more surprising, the Cavs or the Thunder? Both these teams people thought might be the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the Thunder are pretty competitive because last season I think people thought as well that they probably wouldn't make the playoffs and that when Chris Paul wasn't going to stick around, but he did and they played well. And I think that's the sort of mentality that at least Sam Presti brings to his team. He's like, we're not tanking, okay, I've got a ton of draft picks here, but if you're on the team, I expect you to play hard and to play well. And, you know, they got Gilgeous Alexander in the big Paul George deal, so, you know, he's a part of their future. And they're just playing good, consistent, steady basketball again. I think clearly the Cavs at 9-9, even though it's 500, it feels like they're much better than that because they've been quite a story this season. Mm-hmm. And even though they only beat the Pistons last night, there's something believable about the Cavs right now. Whether or not it will last, I'm not sure. And certainly, you know, they will regress at some point throughout the season. But it feels as though this is more than just a 1 or 2 week flurry here from the Cavs. It feels like they are a team that is at least going in the right direction with their young Sexland backcourt. And, of course, Andre Drummond, he's been very, very good for them this season. So I think the fact that they are, I mean, again, they're 9-9 and the Thunder only 8-9, so they've basically got identical records.
Right.
But it just feels to me that if you had said this to me at the start of the season, which team is going to have a better season, I would have just been instantly like, well, the Thunder, of course, because it just feels like...
Even though we said OKC looked like to be the only team in the Western Conference that might actually lean into the tank, because we were saying that when the season started. Looking at every other team, we're like, no, the Wolves don't want to tank. No, the Kings don't want to tank. You know, we went through all of them and said, OKC, that one makes sense. They might.
Yeah, but they've got, competitive players and Al Horford George Hill there and Dort. I mean, Dort's a fun guy to watch.
Hey,
so I just
see him hit that three late last night there, Lele?
The Dort dump three. The guy shot it and then instantly hit the squad as it was going and I was dying.
Like I say, the Cavs, I thought were going to be boring and not very good, and they've been the complete opposite of that. So it's the Cavs for me, for sure.
Okay, that was a tough one. More surprising start, Trey. Where do you go, Cavs or Thunder?
I'm with Lee on this one. I do think it's the Cavs because it feels like it's going to last at least as long as Andre Drummond is around there to clean up the boards, clean up the mistakes, and be a presence inside because the forcing turnovers is working. The playing fast is working for the Cavs. They are probably still catching teams off guard a little bit with the way they're playing, but it's certainly working for them. And, you know, it's a young team, obviously, but it also has some established players or guys who have been around at least for a couple of seasons to the point where you're like, is Darius Garland really going to improve? Is Colin Sexton really going to improve? We've seen what Andre Drummond has done on a bad team, but these are guys who have completely changed my perception of them this season. Whereas the Thunder, I just don't know how it's happening. I don't understand how they're able to start Isaiah Roby every single night and then go out there and look like an incredible team. They're all tied together defensively. Shea has been great. Like I have always said, he's a future all-star out there. I don't know if it'll be this season or next season, but maybe the one after that he could get in the mix. But he has them playing incredibly well. The Thunder look great. The Cavs look great. In a couple of months, are we saying this, when there have likely been trades for both these teams? Maybe not. Some team has to actually be the worst team in the league. Doesn't look like either of these ones, though, and they would have been good bets heading into the season.
Yeah, again, tune into tomorrow's Drop podcast to see whether or not Trey and I fight over SGA being included on our early All-Star team. Will he be?
Oh, you got him as a starter?
No, not starter. We're doing the whole thing tomorrow. We're going full roster tomorrow. Yeah. I was thinking about it, though. I hate to say this, but it's always true. Like, the CJ McCollum injury to him with the Blazers there, I was like, oh, that might actually help SGA actually making this team for real. But anyway, as long as they keep winning, he's going to make that all-star team. I'm going to keep saying it because he was great, again, down the stretch, setting up guys and hitting some key shots. I do worry with the Cavs. Is there and I remember you always talking about this back in the day, Trey. Is there any concern that the Cavs right now are doing, like, I think it was like the 2013-14 Suns, where they like totally like blew expectations out of the water and they were playing so well? That was the year where they won a ton of games but just missed out on the playoffs still in a loaded West, and then they were like, well, this is our team. Let's run it. Let's go with it. And it was like, oh, that ended up backfiring. Like, I guess my point is, like, we talked a lot about the Cavs moving Drummond, moving some of these other things. They're not going to move, like, Sexton or stuff like that. But, like, are they going to win too many games here where they're, like, refuse to move on from some of these guys? Like, is that an issue or no? Because it's just Drummond. Like, they're not moving Okoro. They're not moving Sexton. They're not moving Garland. So it doesn't matter. Like, what do you think?
That's a great question, because Drummond has been instrumental to their success, but bringing him back definitely feels like a Phoenix Suns trying to get back to the playoffs move.
Yeah.
Clearly, the best move for them long-term will be moving him for a player who helps in a couple of years, or some picks that are going to be movable as well. Whatever they're able to flip him is really going to be what Drummond brings, how Drummond brings value back to the Cavs, despite the fact that he has been incredible for him this season. They said heading into the year that they wanted to accelerate the rebuild. I don't know exactly what that means, but it feels like the rebuild has been accelerated. But bringing back Drummond on a huge deal would be bad news bears, I do think. Apparently, they're trying to move Kevin Love as well. There has been a little bit of drama with regards to, are they going to buy him out? Are they not going to buy him out? Are teams really interested? Are title contending teams interested in trading for him? But they've got some pieces that could can help them eventually in the future. Even if they're going to take a little bit of a step back here, it'll be weird, I think, if the Cavs are one of the success stories of the first half of the season, then they trade one of the guys who's been part of that success.
Right.
But maybe it's the smarter move in the long term.
Yeah, we will see. That's a fun one for you guys out there. More surprising start, the Cavs or the Thunder. Final one here. More concerned about these two teams, the Mavericks or the Heat. The Mavericks got punked by the Red Hot Jazz. Jazz won 10 straight. So Mavericks fall to 4-8. And that was like basically a full squad there for the Mavericks. They had both of their star players, of course, in that loss. And they got embarrassed. The Heat, still without some of their best players. We got to add that in there. They lost big to the Nuggets at home. I mean, they got embarrassed. They're 6-11 now. So of these two teams that we both expected to be really, really good teams, you know, at the quarter mark here, Trey, who are you more concerned about, Dallas or Miami?
It's barely the Mavs over the Heat for me here. Both teams have kind of been decimated by health and safety protocols, but I think it's been a little bit worse for the Heat because they've only gotten 6 games from Jimmy Butler, whereas the Mavericks have gotten 17 from Doncic. And that's why, to me, their problems just seem a little bit more ingrained than the Heat does, because you assume the offense and the defense are probably going to get better whenever Jimmy Butler's able to be on the court with them. Again, time is the enemy for the Heat. It's a matter of, are they going to lose so many games in the meantime, waiting for Jimmy Butler, waiting for all of their players to get back on the court, that they're behind the eight ball trying to catch up. The problem for Dallas is offense. They're 15th overall right now. They're down nearly 7 points per 100 possessions off of last year's pace when people were calling them the greatest offense in the history of basketball. They're 30th right now in 3-point percentage. Doncic is struggling, 28.5%. Porzingis, 29.4%. After that, it's like not great shooters on this team. So you wonder who's going to actually be the 3-point shooters that really bring the Mavericks back to respectability, because they have to be incredible on offense, because they're not going to be good enough on defense, I don't think, from what we've seen. Tim Hardaway is shooting the ball well. You got to keep him out there. Josh Richardson is kind of struggling. Seems to follow him around from Philadelphia to Dallas, bringing down the 3-point percentage. It just doesn't feel like there's a way for the Mavericks to get to the elite status that they could have possibly been into this season. I think the Heat will be back there whenever they get all their guys together. We'll see if they make any sort of Bradley Beal trade or something like that. But the Mavericks seem a little bit more precarious to me right here.
Yeah, Lee, you got two giant buttons in front of you. One panic button for the Mavs, one panic button for the Heat. Which one are you slapping first?
Yeah, it's the Mavericks, because as Trey sort of says there, I feel when Jimmy Butler gets back, there's just a certain level of like confidence that I have that Miami will be able to sort of lock in, get a few wins under their belt and move forward. Whereas the Mavericks with Porzingis and Doncic right now, that, you know, this is basically their two best players. And I think teams are basically loading up on Doncic a little bit more and saying, like, you know, because he's averaging virtually a triple-double. And he's got such a heavy workload for that team that teams are kind of like, we can pretty much live with everyone else on the Mavs, even Porzingis for now, until he sort of really gets to his full strength, that the Mavericks are beatable. And, and you know, the Heat, obviously, again, they get punked last night at home against a good team in the Denver Nuggets. But I really feel that the Mavericks need to change their personnel, whereas the Heat have just got to get their players back from injury. That's the concern for me, that this is going to be one of those seasons that even if Doncic continues his incredible season and maybe he averages a triple-double, it's like they could finish 10th in the Western Conference still. So they need to improve some of their supporting players, Whereas the Heat just feels like once they get everyone back, they'll be okay. I just feel that about them because we've seen it. Whereas, you know, for Dallas, it's like, what is Porzingis? Is he really that number two guy that the Mavericks
I heard he's need? A unicorn.
He is. And look, you know, we've seen him have some incredible games. There's no doubt yeah. about it. But, you know, is he a long-term viable option there to really pair alongside Luka that they can score fine, but can they defend? And mm-hmm. and that's the thing. And again, I think teams look at Doncic and they go, look, this guy is a legit star. So let's pile up on him, make him work so hard on both ends of the floor that he just can't carry his team. When you're relying on your Tim Hardaways and your Dorian Finney-Smiths and Trey Burks to be the guys who like, okay, those guys need to all be firing to keep the Mavs in a game. So, yeah, I definitely think it's the Mavs who have got a little bit more to concern than the Heat at this point.
Yeah, we'll see which one of these teams blinks first, maybe in regards to making a trade too, as we've talked about in the past. Both of those squads, I think, could shake it up and try and go get one of these sort of bigger names that could be had, I think, for the right deal. But they both of them don't have a lot of draft picks. That is one issue, especially in trying to get a guy like Beal. They just don't have a ton. They've already swapped them out for other deals. One thing from this game, though, Trey. We got some beef.
29 points for Rudy Gobert, but more importantly, 20 rebounds. So we absolutely, positively, without a doubt, had to do it to him. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Rudy Gobert grabbed 20 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. Au contraire, that's a French dip. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. A stylish beef from Rudy Gobert. I'll say this is the best beef of the season so far. This guy's ripping him out of the hands of the opponents. He's putting the Dennis Rodman like legs up flare. You saw that sweet behind the back dribble he did on the outlet pass. Very funny. There's also a clip in there where a ball just falls out of somebody's hands at the free throw line. He grabs it. Somehow that's a rebound. It doesn't matter. We're blessed with any beef. I love this one from Rudy Gobert. Watching these rebounds is making me a better basketball fan because once it gets down to it, you're like, I'm focusing on box outs here. Like, it's late at night. I should be going to bed, but I come down here. I'm like, Laura, I'll be in bed in about an hour. There's another roast beef. She's like, Trey, be quiet. The girls are sleeping in the room next door. You don't need to see that there's a lot of roast beef that loud. Yeah, I do. Rebounds are back.
Few things. Jazz, awesome win. No Donovan Mitchell, who was in the concussion protocol. It was sort of like out of left field there. So he missed this game. It didn't matter. They continued to roll. They just ran to the victory. The score looks closer than it was. That was a huge, huge win. I can't wait till we can play pickup basketball again and Trey Kirby's boxing out, yelling big beef off boards. Like, I literally can't wait to be running. You know, I'm the outlet, man. I'm going. So I can't wait to yell, give me that beef.
I was thinking about that last night, Skates. For the first time in my life, when I go back and play pickup ball, July 2021, I'm calling out every rebound I get.
Yes.
One, two. I mean, we'll play for, what, 2.5 hours? I got to get 20 over the course of the night.
You're going to
have a secret beef in my bag, run over to the bag, pull out a roast beef, and crush it during a game. Oh,
well, that's my final point.
Sauce.
That's my final point. Arby's, get your head out of your ass/bun and holler at us with some money for all this free publicity we're dropping for you. I mean, we're not getting paid by Arby's for all this big beef we're showing you here, but we should be. Because all I see in our Twitter feed now when someone is flirting with 20 rebounds is, oh, big beef time. Well, I'm getting hungry. Where's the order of the Arby's? Like, come on.
Holler at us. Arby's was trending on Twitter this week.
Oh,
Arby's. Was it because of big beef? I'll let you decide.
No, it actually wasn't. It was actually because people hate Arby's.
Right, but we don't. We're bringing it back. If you want some good publicity, hop on with the Rebound Boys.
Right, yes. Yeah, you can actually rebound your image right now in the eyes of people with No Dunks and our love for Rebound, which is roast beef. I mean, roast beef, which is Rebound. Big beef. Lele, you're going to be hitting the boards harder when you're out there playing ball?
Nah, man, I'm Joe Ingles last night, just catching those threes and shooting them. That's it, man. I've given up rebounding. I'm just a three-point shooter. That's it. Hey, I don't even go in the paint.
Yes, you've turned into a real Zach Harper or a Rasheed Wallace, three-point line to three-point line. I love it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Trey Kirby?
Oh, got a little tweet for ya from the Milwaukee Bucks. This was going around on Twitter. That's where we usually find the tweets. It was getting a lot of buzz. So take a look at Giannis Antetokounmpo being silly.
I'm getting old and weird. It's crazy. This is my first time in Tampa. I've never been here before. Unfortunately, we cannot leave the hotel. I don't have the chance to experience Tampa. What else? Yeah, I'm getting old and weird. I'm alone and look at me. There's nobody around me. Nobody likes me, man. It is what it is. Sometimes in life, people are not going to be around you to motivate you. They're not going to be around you to push you, to celebrate you, to applaud you. You got to do it on your own. That's what I'm doing right now.
I was going to ask you guys, what's something old and weird you do? But then I realized we talked about cream rinse and cleanies for like 15 minutes yesterday, both of which are old and weird. The old weird thing I did today was use a honey dipper. What's a honey dipper all about? Just a piece of wood you stick in there? An old weird thing that still exists. But I hit you with another tweet, Skeets. This is another Bucks tweet from Eric Neem, who says, for those uninitiated, Giannis has now called Dante DiVincenzo white chocolate in back-to-back press conferences. I don't know when a nickname becomes official, but this is definitely something to monitor.
Okay.
Ooh. I don't know, Skeets. Ooh. White chocolate already? Another white chocolate? I don't think I can get on board with this one, though. I did like somebody responded to Eric with a tweet saying that the nickname Alfredo Sauce is available, which would be a great nickname
well, for Dante DiVincenzo.
There's the clip going around last night of Lowry pointing out how white DiVincenzo is. And old DiVincenzo threw down a huge dunk last night.
A big time, yeah. He threw down such a big dunk that Kyle Lowry had to foul him the next time he came down for it.
Yeah, right, right. And then, because he was so red, Lowry was pointing out, yeah, it's because he's so white. That's why you're seeing the mark so bad. Very, very weird. That was a big win by the Bucks there over the Raps, too. Raps sort of made it close at the end, and then the Bucks pulled away. But, is it too soon, Lee, for another white chocolate?
Yes, yes, it is. White chocolate's an iconic nickname, and I don't think anyone who knows anything about the history of the NBA doesn't automatically just say, that's Jason Williams. Mm-hmm. So, DiVincenzo, if he can, provide enough highlights and enough...
That's the thing. He's not white chocolate enough.
Because white chocolate specifically is those passes and those plays. Not necessarily scoring or anything like that or shooting, but it was like he definitely had his own style. Mm-hmm. And that's what DiVincenzo has to do. He has to create some sort of playing style that's like, okay, we can clearly see that's you. You can't just say, well, you're white chocolate because it's cool. I mean, it's a cool nickname. It's a great nickname.
What about Alfredo Sauce, though? You don't like that one as much?
I don't mind. I wouldn't want to be called Alfredo Sauce. But if everyone else is like, here comes Alfredo Sauce down the lane. Sure. All
right. It's a heavy dish.
Oh, someone here. Zach McDonald in the stream scene. What about Creamy D?
Yeah. Sure.
Creamy D and spicy P.
Yeah.
Cream rinse and creamy D.
Back to the Giannis clip too. That's such a great clip. I was crying laughing watching that. I actually hadn't seen the whole thing. I saw like the screen grab going around last night where it says I'm old and weird. And I was sort of like, what is this from? But so I hadn't seen that video yet. That was the first time for me. That's amazing.
He really commits to it, huh? Oh, it almost turns into a wrestling promo there at the end. It's like, I got to do it all by myself. And that's what I'm doing out here. Felt like he wanted to drop the people's elbow a little bit, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. His arms get bigger and bigger every time you see him. Guy's just getting more lifting all the time. Oh, right. Great stuff. Sort of basically two tweets of the night there. I love it, Trey. Okay, pick 'em results. Last night, it was the Mavericks-Jazz game. Jazz, big, big win over Dallas. They were favored by 4.5, took care of that. No Mitchell, as I said. Really good game from Gobert there with the French dip beef. So, what that means is it's over. Yes, our first pick'em of the season. It's a wrap because Lee, Trey, and myself had Utah. They got the victory. That improved Trey and Lee to 11-13. Me to 14-10. Not bad there. But Tash, he picked Alice. He had to swerve. He was getting a little desperate because he was trailing. He got another loss. Tass, 8-16. Tass is usually really, really good at this. So he started slow here this season. He will be having to pay off the pick'em loss. So if you have a last second, a last minute idea for a pick'em payoff for Tassy to do, probably what? Early next week, if we're being honest. I don't think we'll get to it tomorrow. Let us know. Let us know. Tweet at us at NoDunksInc. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Or you can email any ideas you have to NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tassie will be paying it off. Good victory from you guys there. He must have been happy with that, Lili. You will not be having to funnel a bean bong.
Yeah. The funny thing was so many games on last night, and Tass obviously had to swerve. I'm a little surprised he picked that game.
Right, right, right.
Because the Jazz, just super red hot, and the Mavs not. And I thought, oh, that's a fair... I mean, I guess that's it. I guess maybe he thought... Well, those other guys are definitely going to pick the Jazz. I guess that was it.
I think that's what his thinking was. He's like, one of you two is going to take the Jazz, so it leaves me at least the option to take the Mavericks.
Yeah. But, no, this one was over very early on, even without Donovan Mitchell, as you mentioned there. So, Jazz rolling.
Jazz rolling. Tass will be paying it off early next week. If you have an idea, let us know. Okay, we'll call it there. So, we won't make our picks tonight. We'll start it up. Early next week on Monday's show, we'll start making our picks again as we reset the scores. Everybody goes back to 0-0 and we see who comes in last and has to pay it off. Always fun. All right, guys, email us your questions and comments for our next Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We dropped a new Beach Steppin' yesterday. It's a spunky episode. It's, I mean, these Beach Stepping podcasts are getting, they're starting to get crazier and crazier. I think we're getting like loopier and loopier.
No doubt.
As the season moves on and the workload continues to increase, but they're a lot of fun. And you guys send in some fun questions. Look, I'll be honest. There's not a ton of basketball talk in these Beach Stepping podcasts. There's like one or two basketball questions, and then they're crazy. And we go off on some insane tangents. You know, Tass is singing at some point. Lee's pulling out a handkerchief, and he's waving it around. And you know, he's going. So anyway, again, they're a lot of fun. So go check out the Beach Stepping podcast or join us live for those at 3 p.m. on Wednesdays on YouTube. Immaculate items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Go get your No Dunks merch. And we're talking with Breaking Tea as we speak. Some emails have been flying back and forth this morning. Some new gear on its way soon. I would actually, you know what? I'm going to lock it in. Monday, we're going to have new stuff up at the nodunks.com store. Yeah. A lot of new stuff by the looks of it. So, you know, either go get something now or you can even wait till Monday if you want to do that. We'll let you know when that stuff goes live. And finally, if you haven't already, grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month. Get the best damn sports writing in the world. Get ads, podcasts ad free. There's not just No Dunks on The Athletic, by the way. I mean, I know you guys know this. There's The Ding. There's all these great podcasts about team specific shows. And then there's like, oh yeah, like I always forget there's other sports going on.
But, you know, they have other sports.
There are other sports. There's a football podcast.
I listen to The Athletic football show every week. It's the only reason I know anything about football. Can't wait to hear my man Robert Mays breaking down how the Bears are going to get Deshaun Watson, right some wrongs in Chicago.
Come on, you can't get Candace Parker and Deshaun Watson in the span of the same week here or something.
I don't know. 2021 looking pretty good. The Bulls are back. The Sky are back. The Bears coming back.
Oh my goodness.
I might have to move home.
So yeah, go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get yourself that athletic subscription. Anything else to add, gentlemen, here before we wrap it up? NBA whoopsies coming later today and tonight. I'll just remind you one more time. NBA happy hour. This is something new for us. We're going to try it. Who knows what's going to happen? We're going to jump on YouTube live around halftime of the first game on TNT. It's the Blazers-Rockets game. And just shoot the shit. Crack a beer. Talk hoops. Talk nonsense.
Yeah.
Sort of watch the game. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll have some fun, though. So check it out.
Also, quickly, I'm popping packs with Coyote Peterson this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Give a shout out to his son, Pup. I'm not even kidding. Coyote Peterson, I know nothing about this man, but this is, like you said, you gave us the tease or the hint that he's Steve Irwin like, so that's obviously a man of the animals, is he?
Check him out on YouTube. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And he's a big basketball fan. So this is going to be a real worlds colliding here. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but just join us 3 p.m. on YouTube this afternoon Eastern and we'll have some fun. Who knows where it's going to go?
Okay. So this is not on Instagram where you usually have been
doing
it.
Not today. No. No, we're going to do it on YouTube today because Coyote has a big, big following on the YouTubes. So
that's his natural habitat, you would say.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this. I'll be tuning in live. Yeah. Okay, so 3 p.m.-ish, that's what we're saying here?
3 p.m. Eastern, yeah. I'm going to get out the Acme basketball cards. Yeah, I don't know. Coyote, you know.
Okay.
That's not bad, man. Just don't say it to him, though.
Hey, listen, man. Anything goes for this one today. I don't know where it's going to go. So,
I'm excited. Coyote Peterson and Lee Ellis opening up an old pack of basketball cards. I wish the cards you were opening up so much were animals. So much.
Well, there might be Big Dog Glenn Robinson.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you'll probably... Hey, are you going to actually open a pack or are you going to like plant this pack? Like, what are you doing?
Listen, I can't reveal all the secrets. All right. You know what TV's like. You know, you've got to leave something there for the fans. You know, you've got to leave that intrigue.
Hey, but it would be fun. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, Lee, most of the time we've been signing these cards to give them away. Trading cards are hot right now, mate. You got to keep an eye out for those Gym Mint 10s. These could be worth $6 to $7 a piece, these cards you're pulling out of here. The big packs. I've been seeing some of the stuff on YouTube, on the YouTubes, if you will. When you get a big card, man, don't just toss it. Don't write your name on it. Get that thing graded and sell it for millions or dollars.
Put on gloves when you're doing this. You keep eating potato chips and touching all these cards.
That's what still surprises me whenever something like that happens. People send me the links on Twitter and stuff about someone paying $2.6 million for a card, and I'm like, what the f*** is wrong with some people to spend that much money on a card? On a card!
It's big business, man. I think Simmons, or The Ringer, I should say, is starting up a podcast solely dedicated to trading cards and the business behind it. It's a big deal, Lee, so keep your eye out for, you know, and Ala
Abdul Nabi, yeah.
I can't even say it.
Yeah, the first Egyptian born in the NBA.
That's right. That card goes big in Egypt, man.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I think Abdul Nader was also born in Egypt. I think we have two Egyptian-born NBA players now, I believe. Know. Yeah.
Learning some things. Okay, so popping packs today. NBA whoopsies today. NBA happy hour tonight. My goodness. Keeping JD busy in the factory. The classic factory, continuing to pump out the classics. All right, thanks for joining us here this morning. We will see you later today, tonight, or tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Arby's,
we love roast beef.
Now give us the cheddar.
Brace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.